Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nihyeh bidvaro. Thanks, guys. What is that, salmon? Some salmon there, too?
No, that shakshuka.
Oh, that's the shakshuka. Okay. Okay. So this morning we're going to see two pieces, one a little shorter and one a little bit little lengthier. And specifically dealing with Shemitah. You know, this year, it's always nice when something is actually relevant, right? When we're talking about something that's in the Torah and it goes to great lengths to explain it and elucidate. But, you know, as we know, this is a Shemitah year right now. And there's a lot to talk about because, you know, partly because, you know, how much of Shemitah is actually observed in the way that it was meant to initially, as we know, right? The state of Israel, in order to be, functioning within the world economy, and in order for all their farms not to literally close down, they have to have, we have something called the Heter Mechira in place, which, dates back to the time of Rav Kook, to pre-state Israel. And, that's still going. There's something else called the Otzar Beis Din. Otzar Beis Din is a situation where you have basically a consortium of Rabbanut Batei Din that take over the farms of the the farmers that want to participate in it, and they basically are doing, they're kind of on a holiday. They could have people that they have people that man the fields, et cetera, et cetera. But they're supported, through that. So the Beis Din, right, whereby the land isn't owned by the people, by the individuals. They belong to this consortium, this Otzar Beis Din, and they sell, and Otzar Beis Din gets a cut, and the others get a cut, like sort of more almost supporting them in like a kollel learning kind of thing. And there's a new thing that was developed just recently, which is really great, which kind of tries to combine the two, because the issue is that you have people that are like, okay, we're going to do Heter Mechira, which means, right, we're going to sell the land that we own to a non-Jew. Sounds very similar to, right, to Pesach. Oh, but how could you do, and you can't do, and it's a gimmick, and it's not real, and how could you sell land, even though it's not a real sale, can you go ahead and sell land, a Jewish land to a non-Jew? A lot of different questions, but, the reality is it goes all the way back. I hold from the Heter Mechira personally. It was good enough for Rav Kook, it was good enough for the Rabbanut, which is very popular about a lot of things. I hold from it, and I'm pretty sure the OU's position is they hold from it as well. So that is that. But then, so the people that are against the Heter Mechira, say, oh, it's terrible, and it's horrible, and you can't do it. Blah, blah. So then they have the, Otzar Beis Din. It could only be Otzar Beis Din. Or, this is the better one, right? It's called Yevul Nachri. What does Yevul Nachri mean? I have to buy from, the Palestinians. I'm going to have to buy, I don't want Israeli, it's very nice coexistence. I I'm a fan of that and in the right circumstances, but it's very nice. I'm in Israel and you go, I remember being in the Shuk once, like, oh, wait, is this Israeli produce? I don't want Jewish owned produce. I only want, Arab owned produce. Like, it just feels very odd, right? We're trying to build up the land and we're only going that route. Okay, so there's this thing called Karen Shvi's, I think. I think it's called Shnat HaShmita, or Karen Shvi's, I forgot. There's a guy who lives in, he's like a hedge fund manager, a from hedge fund manager in the Five Towns, and he's established this this thing which is like kind of like a mix of both, saying, look, this isn't wrong, and the Heter Mechira isn't wrong. The Otzar Beis Din Yevul Nachri thing isn't wrong. Let's see how we could figure it out together. And he devised a system whereby people aren't working, they're not working their fields. He's able to fully hire out people that are doing it. And then there's this idea that they say if you have like a bottle of Shemitah wine, right? Let's say there's a bottle from Shemitah wine. It was produced with Kedushat Shvi'it. What do they say about that wine? You can't leave it over. You have to drink all of it. That's the halacha, that like the stuff that grew during the Shemitah year, like you can have it, right? You're not supposed to work the land, but the stuff that, stuff grows still, right? So stuff that grew, you can have, but you have to literally finish it all up, right? So what this guy's idea is, it's like, let's take the fruit and vegetables, the produce that's produced, that you know comes about from a Shemitah year, and let's give it to like all of the yeshivot throughout Eretz Yisrael, right? Let's give it to everyone, to the Hasidim, the Yeshivish, the Haredim, the Dati Leumi, give it to everyone. And in this way, we could teach them about the laws of Shemitah, meaning instead of, you know, getting what wherever they get it from during the year, let's have them use this stuff, right? Specifically, right? It's Jewish, it on Jewish land, from, you know, time of Shemitah. You have to, here, this is halacha. You make sure that you eat your healthy foods, and you have to eat it all up, and it's really important, and so on and so forth. And what's very cool about it is, he has the entire spectrum of the observant world is in. They're like, yeah, we like it. This works. It's like, which is shocking, right? Because there's whatever. The fighting is unbelievable. It's, you know, it's crazy what's happening in Israel. But like, actually, they're all agreeing that this could happen. It's actually a really, really nice thing. But the idea is to expose people to Shemitah, because the reality is, you know, Shemitah is meant to be something. It's meant to mean something. And unfortunately, if it's just like, well, it's a Bechira, or it's this, and, you know, we're just sort of far away from it, here, let's engage with it, right? And let's actually live within the confines, or within the context of a world where Shemitah exists. So I want to see, there's a beautiful idea here, this first idea, and then we're going to get a little bit of into an analysis of some of the reasons for Shemitah. So by Daber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor, famous question. If you're an economics student, right, and you know, they would ask this famous question, what does this have to do with the economics, the price of
China.
Price of tea in China, right? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China, right? That's the whole thing. Okay, great. What's the Jewish question? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Hasina, right? What is this? What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? But Deber Hashem el Moshe b'Har Sinai lemor, and then it talks about Shemitah. Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai. Karav lishmoa, says the Kli Yakar. Kisha'ala Moshe al Har Sinai achar shiva shavuot. Shesafru Yisrael Tisha Barboim Yom in Pesach Vanatzeret. He said, here, think about this. Right? Moshe goes up Har Sinai after counting 7 weeks, right? And now it's 49 days later, right? We're almost there. We're 2 weeks away. Min Pesach Vanatzeret. Nit Kadesh Az Oto Har. V'ne'esar B'zriya V'charisha B'yom Chamishim. What happened to that mountain? What happened to Har Sinai? It was sanctified. And it became prohibited in sowing it and plowing it. You can't, right? You can't touch it. It's literally like hektish. Shabbat Dinat Torah, the Torah was given on that mountain. Guzman Meshichara Yovel, Likro Dror, Lichavshi L'chol Yisrael, Charus, Cherus, Ala Luchos. And it was a time of like sort of freedom, the Liberty Bell moment of the Jewish people, as it says, Cherut or Charut Al Haluchot, right? The word freedom. Val Yedei, Kol HaShofar, Shel Matan Torah. And there was a shofar blast on Matan Torah, at Har Sinai. Ba'otos Mani Gida Kodesh Baruch L'Moshe Inyan HaShemitah Val Yovel. And at that time, Moshe was taught, Hashem taught Moshe the laws of the Torah. And one of those laws was Shemitah and Yom. What does that have to do with him? So listen to this. Lomar, Shebemispar Shiva, Ubemispar Tishabe Arbaim, Ani Notain Kiddusha Zol Choler Tisrael. This happened on Har Sinai through the number 7 weeks, through the number 49 days, through the number 50, right? The 50th day. That is going to be recreated in Eretz Yisrael. Sheyesh la dimyon v'yachas im Har Sinai. And what you're doing is, you're sanctifying this land, the land of Israel. It's a beautiful idea. You're sanctifying, I've never seen this before. You're sanctifying the land of Israel, in a sense saying that Israel is kind of a recreation, a microcosm of Sinai. The entire Israel. Okay? We know that Israel has a spirit, you know, that of wisdom, you know, and it enlightens one there. The ain Torah Torah Eretz Yisrael. We know there's no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Now, I don't think Kliyakar had ever been to Eretz Yisrael. So it's beautiful to see him write a piece like this. The Har Sinai. Therefore, it makes sense. Let us give the same status of Kedusha that we gave, or that Hashem divinely gave to Har Sinai. Let us now, and we know that, by the way, Sinai doesn't retain that Kedusha. Where did the Kedusha go? It went to Eretz Yisrael. The entire land of Israel. And now we could see it. So what do you do? 7 years, right? That's Shemitah. 49 years, that's, you know, the right? So the seven of seven, right? The 7 year cycle of 7 years. And every 50, we're going to have a full recreation of the Sinai experience. What do we do? What's the major ritual we do on the Yovel year at Yom Kippur? What do? We blow a shofar. Bedafka, right? We kratem dror. So it literally is a recreation of Sinai. Mitzorap l'shar ta'amim sheyesh l'mitzvah zo. I think, you know, there are other reasons for this mitzvah, but this is like, to me, this is like, he says, Alkei ne'emar b'har Sinai, v'dabar zeh nachon, this is right, this is correct, v'karov l'shmoa. And it's, Rabbi Jared Rosenfeld, in the shir on Sunday, if some of you were there with the homegrown Torah, beautifully, he used a word, it was a great word, it resonates, right? Does Torah, does an idea or a halacha resonate with you? It's like v'karov l'shmoa, this resonates, think about that. Just think about it for a second. It's really an amazing idea. It's gorgeous. It's like, it's really gorgeous, right? So Har Sinai, its Kedusha was, you know, was not taken away, was moved, right, transferred onto the entire land of Israel. Now, I think, you know, it's nice, Har Sinai, Har Abayit, maybe, you know, but the entire land of Israel. That's how we do it. The 7 years to remember the Sfiras HaOmer, counting up for the 49, counting up to Matan Torah, and then the 50th year of Shofar, of Ma'amad Har Sinai. And it, you know, Israel during this time period especially really resonates with all of us, right? Between Pesach and Shavuot, there's no great Chagei Yisrael, all of the things, Lag Bomer, all the things going on, there's just a spirit of Eretz Yisrael, and maybe we have a little bit of a closer connection based on this idea.
Do we know when Yom Kippur is?
Like when the next Yovel is? I feel like we had one. What?
I don't know.
You got Google it. I'm not sure. Actually, not. I don't remember. Did we have a Yovel in my? Do I remember in my? I'm not sure. Does anyone remember having a Yovel in your lifetime? I don't remember. We didn't lose the tradition because by definition. We have the seven, right? We have the 7 year cycle, but you think maybe we lost the 50. I'm not sure. You could Google it. Okay. Okay. Vishavta Arat Shabbat LaHashem. Okay. B'tam mitzvah zo, yesh deot chalukot. Okay, when it comes to this mitzvah, the reason for this mitzvah, yesh deot chalukot, there are many different reasons for Shemitah. Right? So now he's going to get into Shemitah itself. He gave us this sort of overarching concept, right, of a connection to Har Sinai, but there are a lot of different reasons why we have Shemitah. Ki Rabbi Momrim Shatamhu. Many people say the reason is this: Shetishbod Haaretz Kedei Shetosif Teit Kochal LaZorea. Many people say that the reason is what? It's an agricultural reason that the soil needs to sort of, you know, rest for a bit and need what? Replenish, good, and reconstitute itself and, you know, get its nutrients and minerals back, and that'll be good. You know, it's good. You have to do that. Uladeya zo nataha Rav Hamora. So the Rav Hamora who's the Rav Hamora? The Mor Nebuchim, right? The Rambam, right? The Rambam writes, yeah, that's the reason. V'rabim cholkim alav. Many people are very upset by this idea. Why? The Amrushim chashisha ha-Torah lezeh, shelo techlasha adama. Because if the Torah is worried about, you know, the nutrients of the land, lama yitchayvu galus al shmita sa'aretz. Why would you be liable if you didn't do Shemitah, right? We know the Torah talks about, the Gemara talks about, right? The punishment you would get for not keeping Shemitah is you're going to get exiled from the land. The punishment will be that the land's not going to give. Oh, she'ein zeh Shabbos la'Hashem kim l'tzorech ha'aretz. The Torah says it's a sabbatical year for God. It should say it's a sabbatical year for the land. Right? How would it be helpful to the land if the Jewish people didn't do it properly and said, oh, you're out now. So then, you know, the non-Jews going to come in. They don't have the mitzvah of Shemitah. And they're going to be, you know, they'll work it all the time. How's that going to help? How could the land ever rest with, you know, once it's desolate from the Jewish people? That doesn't make any sense. So before we get there, I'll just tell you really interestingly, when you go to a winery in Israel, and Amir Tzashem, you should go soon, they always talk about, I've heard this several times, they always talk about, right, the quality of the grapes. Like, it's real. Israel is like, it's literally like, you know, wine country. It really is, right? And they have all these different climates, right, that are conducive to, or have the terroir, right, of different types of grapes, right? They have the upper northern stuff, and then they have the southern stuff that's lower, you know, lower sea level and you know, higher altitudes and somewhere in the middle and so on and so forth. And that's why, you know, we're able to, you know, have, you know, Cabernet and a Chardonnay and all this stuff, right? What they'll say is that, you know, Israel is producing award-winning wines, like in international competitions. Like so many, right? We know there's some really amazing kosher wines that come a long way from Manischewitz, you know, in the 19-whatevers. And they say the reason why is because the land in particular has been so dormant and so waiting to produce wine again. Why? Why? Because the Arab population that lived there for all these years, what's the hallmark of, you know, of Muslim life? No wine. You know, so they may have grapes, you know, for eating, but no wine. So there's been like literally no wine produced in a major wine producing region for like, you know, 1600-1700 years. And all of a sudden it's like, it's been amazing. And they say that's the reason why. So it is fascinating, right? He's asking these questions, saying, oh, that's not good. That's not helpful to the land. Well, you know, a couple hundred years later, he would have found out that on some level, maybe it is helpful to the land, at least, you know, for, you know, to lay dormant for 1,000 years. Either way, point is, he's like, come on. It can't just be this agricultural, you know, reason. Okay, we know crop rotation. That's very nice. It was really the Torah teaching us about crop rotation. Yeah, the other Mefarshim have a problem with this as well. So he says, Uba Akeda Nasan Tamachir. The Akeda gives a different reason. That really the purpose of this mitzvah is to remind us of the creation of the world. And to remember the days of the you know, that the world, you know, exists, you know, and then there's the seventh day, just like the seventh year, just like there's the seventh day, and so on. And this also, this idea, he doesn't like the Rambams. And he's like, I don't like this either. Rachok mikil yotai. This is far away, distant from my, what are kil yotai? Klayot. This is far away from my kidneys. The way in rabbinic parlance, they talked about different organs relating to different kind of different attributes and different ways of understanding the world. Klayot, because you know of their role in like kind of filtering out, you know, the good from the bad in the system, they're associated with wisdom. Huh. So this is far away from my klayot. I'm not sure what this line means. I'm not sure what he means here. What? Correct. Bochen klayot. Exactly. Perfect. Beautiful. They say that Abraham had really great klayot. That's what they say. He wouldn't have had to go to my urologist. Baruch Hashem. Ki yom haShabbos haTmidi b'chol haShavua b'al ezeichei chiddush olam. Here's why this is far away from my... This doesn't pass the smell test. That's basically what he's saying. Why? He's like, what do you mean? I have Shabbos every week. Why do I need... Excuse me. Thank you. Why do I need a seventh year? I have a seventh day every week. That's what reminds me of the Zeichel, the Ma'aseh Bereishit. What are you talking about? The Imhulo Yo'il. If every week the Shabbos thing doesn't work, Ma'yoshienu Zah Ba Le'itim Rechokim. How is every 7 years going to help me? If every week doesn't help me, how's every 7 years going to help me to remember the Chidush HaOlam, to remember that God created the world? Okay. Ukedeli Yashed Kamadik Dukim Lashana Parsha Omer Ani. So now he's basically like, all right, here's the story. Shetam Mitzvah Zo, Hula Hashrishet Yisrael B'midata Emunah V'Abitachon B'Hashem, that the reason, the source of this mitzvah is to entrench within us a sense of faith and trust in Hashem. Ki chashash HaKadosh Baruch Hu pen bevoam el ha'aretz yitasku ba'avodas ha'adama ala minhag ha'tivi, because what he was afraid of, Hashem, you know, saw that, you know, we'd get into Israel, the man would stop falling. Don't worry, I just have allergies, it's fine. The man would stop falling, and we're going to work the land, and we're going to, you know, engage in, you know, in regular agricultural work, day to day natural stuff. And then, you know, once the land starts giving, and you know, I'll feel like a balabas, I'll feel amazing, and I'm going to stop thinking about God. And they'll think erroneously that this all came from me, right? I made the rains, I plowed the fields, I had all the ideas, it's all me. And that the world operates the way it does, and it's natural, and I have no one to thank but myself and nature. And they'll think that the land is theirs. And they're the balabas. Right, they're the owner and no one else. Now, interestingly, by the way, in rabbinic literature, when it talks about a very fertile field, do you know what it calls a very fertile field? It calls it a Beit HaBaal, Beis HaBaal, right? It's a house of the Baal. Why? Because you feel like, you know, you're in control. By the way, what's the name of the famous, the infamous idol, you know, idolatry, the pagan worship? It was called Baal, right? The idea of being like, we're in control, not, you know, not God. Al Kain Hotziyam Hashem min aminagati vilagamri. Therefore, Hashem took them out of the realm of the regular natural order of things. Ki b'shei shanim derech haumot la'asot shtei shanim zera v'shana achat pur. He says something awesome. Why? Because he lives in Europe in the late 1600s, and he's talking about crop rotation. And when we were children and we learned crop rotation, what did they tell you? It was a 3-year cycle. 2 years, and then 1 year off. Right? Why? It was 3 years cycle in the Middle Ages. That's what they did in Europe. He's like, yeah, that's what crop rotation is. It's not 6 and 1. It's 2 and 3. It's 2 and a third. Kedei shelo lahachish chela. So that we don't, you know, tire out the land, whatever. It needs to get its nutrients back. That Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar. Hashem said, no, this isn't crop rotation. This isn't your regular natural crop rotation. This is supernatural crop rotation. This is divine crop rotation. Amar sheishanim tizras adecha mideishanim ishanah. I want you to work it hard for 6 days, right? I want you to keep going. V'anim mapikacha lehosif kocha shelo tachish. And I promise you, it's going to be good. It'll retain its nutrients. It'll retain its strength. Ve'od neis v'toch neis. And there'll be a miracle within a miracle. She'achar she'zra'ata she'shanim. That for after you see it, you sow the land and harvest it for 6 years. Im v'shana shishit lo yachish chela. Now, generally, if you're going to work the land, right, and you're going to overwork it, and you should have done two and one, but now you're going to the third year, going to the fourth year. At a certain point, fine. It retains its status. Maybe it doesn't get stronger, it doesn't get better, but at least, you know, it's not going to get worse. He's like, no, Hashem is saying the opposite. Vamar Hashem, Adarabba, Hashem says the opposite. Shebishana shishit, Yosif la koach kolkach, kolkach. Ad shenemar vitzviti et bichativa shana shishit v'asat tvuat l'shlosh shanim. Right. What does the Torah say? That in the sixth year, God says you're going to keep going, and in the sixth year it's going to get even stronger, and the sixth year will be able to yield a produce that will help you for the next 3 years. For year six, right? That's the year you're in. Year seven, where you're not planting, and year eight, where you're now regrowing because you had, right, Shemitah. Which is a wild idea, right? Think about it in terms of, like, I don't know, think baseball, right? We live in an era of pitch count and, you know, and right, you guys remember, I remember somewhat also, right? You'd go, a guy would pitch, well, not so much. I never really, like a nine okay. inning, like never. Back in the day, they pitched the whole game. Nine innings, you pitch the whole game. I saw seven, eight, right now it's like, oh, it's five and a third inning, right? But you know, because everyone's like, oh, you get tired, you know. But there are some pitchers, right? Some incredible, magical pitchers. They get stronger as the game goes on, right? They start, like, you know, the first couple innings are difficult. And then all of a sudden, like, in six, seven, it's unbelievable, right? And they get stronger. That's what's going on here, Lahavdil, with the land. That's a supernatural form of crop rotation. Val yedei kol amofsim lalalu. And through these incredible wonders, these miracles, you'll know that the land belongs to me. The land doesn't belong to you. The land belongs to me. And through that, you're going to, you know, lift your eyes up to God. Just like if, when the man came down, you looked up and said, when's it coming? Or where's it coming from? Right, so Hashem built in this notion, this idea of the seven-year cycle, which defies the natural, you know, the natural order on some level. Right, and again, you're not gonna work the land, and it's gonna produce for 3 years, and you're gonna be okay. Again, you'll have blessing, and it's going to be okay, and you're going to make it. You'll eat a little bit, and you'll be satisfied from that little bit that you ate. So that it'll last for 3 years. Etc., etc. Fine, go to the next paragraph as we end. I love his humility. I love his confidence. Like, he's just like, you know what? This works. This makes sense. My kids went and visited his my son Aiden. He was in Prague on a heritage of, you know, a couple months ago. And he took a picture, you know, of his grave. He said, Dad, I'm at the Clio because I know you're obsessed with the Clio. I'm at his grave. He's amazing. He's like, this makes sense. This works. And now it would make sense why you would be liable to exile from the land through the sin of not keeping Shemitah. Because you're not believing. They didn't believe in God. And they didn't trust in His salvation. And that Hashem would be able to do this, right? So it's really about the idea, if I could even connect it, I could connect it to the first idea, which is Eretz Yisrael, to believe that Israel, just like Har Sinai, was And just a small mountain like any other mountain, but all of a sudden something magical and incredible revelatory happened on that mountain. The same way, that's the land of Israel. And as much as, right, as much as it gives us, it tears our kishkas out to see, I mean, there was fighting on Har Meron yesterday. I heard the thing happened, Baruch Hashem, Wednesday night happened, you know, without a glitch. But then there was fighting. They had a memorial ceremony and for the Nebuch, for the people, the families who died. And there were certain people, or you're rushing it, or are you keeping us away? It's hard to imagine. But, and really, the reality is, it tears our kishkas out. But we have to know, we have to realize that there's something so incredibly supernatural about the land of Israel. A quality that is just a step above, you know, it's outside of nature. And may Hashem continue, as much as we stumble within it, we should really appreciate it as much as we possibly can. And may Hashem continue to guide it from above, so that it can continue to flourish, and we here can continue to support it in every way and shape that we can. Shkoyach, everyone. We have someone saying Kaddish? Yeah. Rechananim Kashrim, it's Kaddish Baruch Hu, Lezakos, Es Yisrael. Neficha, Chibleim, Terim, Mitzvah, Shneemar, Adonai Chafetz, Ma'atzidko,